You can listen to somebody explain something to you, and that might be helpful, but it's different when you're figuring it out yourself and you're starting to connect the pieces.
Machines are so fast and stores are so big that they give us plenty of latitude to screw things up.
The shell, or which is the name we give to the command interpreter.
So the operator got a pair of tweezers and very carefully fished the moth out of the relay.
Because you all read The Mythical Man Month.
And the best motivator in the world for programming is scratching your itch.
Developers, 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 developers.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sourcecraft Podcast. Today we have the final segment of our three-part series on developer onboarding with our very own Jean Duplessis, Director of Engineering at Sourcecraft. Jean talks about the role checklists can play in onboarding, why context is king for coders and how to facilitate context transfer, and how software engineering can seem like one part adventure, one part archaeology. We also touch upon the topic of continuous onboarding and how that relates to general developer productivity. Stay tuned! So I'm here with Jean Duplessis, a member of our team at Sourcegraph, and we're chatting about onboarding engineers. I guess to kick things off, Jean, can you tell us about what your current role is and what it is that you do at Sourcegraph?
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I'm the Director of Engineering of our web organization here at Sourcegraph. Our team's mostly focus on bringing Sourcegraph's intelligence as well as other third-party tools that customers might be using and bringing that to the developer where they're at, whether that be, you know, in their code host like GitHub or GitLab, or when they're using Sourcegraph.com, and eventually in their IDE as well.
Awesome. And so let's talk about onboarding. So, you know, how do you think about onboarding engineers onto your team as a director of engineering?
Well, for me, the important part is that when you bring a new team member into your team, you want to make them feel at home. For me, it's all about making them feel comfortable, giving them psychological safety to know that they don't have to come in and try and be a rock star. We already hired them because we believe they're good. We want them to come in and really acclimatize to the new environment, you know, their teammates, get familiar with the company, the processes. And so my initial objective is really to empower them, really to before expecting anything from it, you know, give them the support they need and help them to gain that context they don't have up front, so that when they get stuck into the code and they start working on the roadmap, they have the necessary knowledge paths in their head in terms of making the right decisions along the way.
Yeah, that makes sense. When would you say that people first dive into the code? Like, is there a period of time where you have people focus on just meeting members of the team first, or do you try to introduce them into the code as quickly as possible?
I think most engineers that I've met want to get into the code as quickly as possible, and I'm always the one that tries to pull them back to say, hey, just take it easy. I've seen some engineers ramp up in 2 weeks, and they just want to, they feel they'll learn better by just getting stuck in with the code. Other engineers take a little bit longer, but I really encourage them, especially in their first week, take the time to go through your onboarding tasks diligently. Make sure you read as many pages of a handbook as you can. Get the context, understand things. And then I create like a list of people that they should meet up with, both in the team and outside of the team. Form relationships, start creating bonds with people. You're going to need those relationships later on. And the more people you meet early on, the more people you have to reach out to when you get stuck, especially in an all-remote environment where you can't just walk up to somebody and tap them on the shoulder. You want to create, foster those connections as early as possible, and to also just to create a sense of belonging.
Do you have like a list of specific milestones? Like, is there a checklist that you have in either written down or in your mind that you want every new member of the team to run through, or is it fuzzier or more informal than that?
Yeah, I think we've got this hybrid approach. We use this workflow software to help drive new teammates through specific steps, administrative tasks and things that everybody should be doing. And then there's even some engineering generic stuff that people should be doing, setting up their local environment, understanding code standards and the principles we work on. And then it, you know, there's some domain specific things you want an engineer to learn about the team that they're in. And I think that's where things become a little bit more tailored to the team that they're joining. And each team will probably have a little, a set of things that they want to share with them. But then there's also another part of this is we create a document with expectations that we have of somebody in their first 90 days. So, week one normally is about, just focus on your onboarding tasks in the software we use. Make sure that you get all of those done. There's no expectation of you to do anything. Week two to three might be, get more familiar with the code base. Start making a small, we'll probably assign an issue to you that's a good first issue to tackle, whether it's a little bug or a little enhancement, something just to get you comfortable with the development process, going from, writing the code, opening PR, getting it reviewed, going through the build system and seeing that change go live. Because that gives them a lot of context as well. And that normally opens up a lot of questions in their mind as well. And I would say, then we have certain, like 1 month, 2 month and 3 month, kind of like outcomes we want them to achieve. Something that, and this is more about giving them a mark in time to know whether they're, performing well. I think as a new engineer, or any new employee in a company, you always want to know, am I doing well? Am I living up to expectation? And having a document that just sets out clearly what your expectation is over the first 3 months gives them that sense of ease that I know what they expect of me and I can benchmark myself against that expectation. And most engineers tend to overachieve on that because we set the expectation low. We want to give them an easy on-ramp into the business and the team and set them up for success. It doesn't help they come and we have this high bar that we're expecting them to achieve. And then, we just set them up for failure. So you want to, set them up for success.
Yeah, that makes sense. Does engineering experience factor in at all to the onboarding steps? Like, are there higher expectations that you have for engineers with more experience, or do you have kind of a unified approach for that early stage onboarding?
No, I think you really have to tailor it. I think people are unique. Each person is their own individual. The role that you hire somebody into a team for is specific as well. And so I think you want to tailor those expectations you have to the role, to the experience, to the complexity of the task at hand. And so you want to be careful of trying a one-size-fits-all solution because it can come across generic and unauthentic. And you want a new starter to feel like, man, they really thought about how they want to help me be successful in this business. Because that's the first sign that they get that, they care about me more than just another person that's coming in to do some work.
What about the technical aspects of onboarding? So one of the challenges is you're diving into a new code base as an engineer. And I think every code base just seems like massive and daunting the first time you dive into it. And there's kind of that first milestone, which is you fix your first bug, you've made a change. But then from there, there's, the rest of the code base. And learning about the architecture and like all the different product areas. How do you think about giving people that more holistic or high level knowledge?
Yeah, I think as a new engineer onboarding, you're a little bit of an adventurer. You're going into uncharted territory. And I think what you want to do as a manager, you want to allow them some freedom to explore, because in that exploration, there's that process leads to learning and discovery. Mm-hmm. But you also want to, again, set them up for success. So you want to give them a map, and that could be your architecture documents. You want to make sure they have the right gear, so that could, make sure they have the right software and the tool and laptop and all of that. And, you probably want to give them a satellite phone as well for if they really get stuck out in the wilderness that they can call for help. And that might be, the team that is there to support them, or an onboarding buddy that gives them the guidance along the way. Something that they can call a friend if they really get stuck in something. But I do think there's merit in allowing them to navigate their own journey, because as you kind of like go through, you can listen to somebody explain something to you, and that might be helpful, but it's different when you're figuring it out yourself and you're starting to connect the pieces. My personal opinion is that that is a little bit more valuable. And so I'm happy to have somebody almost struggle a little bit up front and navigate the code base by themselves with the right guidance, obviously. And in that way, probably gain more insights and understanding.
Cool. I have a challenge question here, which has come up, I think, in these other conversations, which is when you're bringing new folks onto the team, you try to transfer as much knowledge and context from the existing folks to the newer folks. And, you know, every company does this, and you get the newer folks spun up and they're getting the motion of contributing bug fixes and improvements to the existing code base. But often what's harder is transferring that complete historical context that gives people the confidence and the knowledge to make these like big sweeping changes, you know, like a big change to the architecture. And sometimes teams get stuck in this mode where the original authors of the team have now left. All the people currently working on it are people who've joined after that first initial stage. And there's kind of this implicit set of assumptions that are baked in now that the current team doesn't feel comfortable challenging. Do you think at all about that in the onboarding process? Do you think of that as like conveying that knowledge as a thing that is possible to do? And is that part of onboarding or is that something else?
It's interesting you mention it because this exact scenario played out for an engineer recently. They love context and understanding the history behind decisions in helping them, you know, have confidence in what they put forward as ideas. And thankfully, you know, Sourcegraph has this practice of putting RFCs together for when we, you know, want to have introduce new changes or make architectural decisions. And we were able to kind of like track back this document, which even predates my time, that gave context on these decisions, which was amazing as an artifact to be able to refer back to that. Because even the people that worked on it at the time, you know, like they forget about it. You did 6 months ago is essentially, you know, forgotten history. And and so this helped him. And I asked him recently in a skip level meeting that I had with him, I said, like, if you were, because we specifically talked about the onboarding experience and how he experienced it. And I essentially we agreed, you know, or he agreed that having more of these RFC type documents as, you know, almost like our history documents as to why we came to where we are is really helpful for somebody new coming in. Because as somebody new coming in, you look at the code base and you can make some assumptions and you can make judgments without knowing the context. And having those documents and decisions, you know, documented that you can refer back to them is really helpful, especially to those individuals who strive on understanding context before they, you know, feel empowered to move forward. Other people are more comfortable with moving forward. You know, they'll look at what there is, they'll take it as fact, and they'll move forward with, you know, in terms of what they feel is the best way to go. But I found, you know, personally, I found a lot of value looking back at some of these RFC documents and just understanding things a bit better.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you said the word artifact when you were referring to these documents, and another term that's come up is code archaeology. And I guess this is beyond code archaeology. This is now into like the product planning process. When you think about helping people acquire that context, oftentimes it's quite painful. You know, if I don't have someone who knows that a particular document was written back in the day or knows something about the code base that will help me, you know, jump to the right revision or past version or uncover the pull request. I guess my question here is, you know, organizationally, how do we make that easier? Or is it even possible? Is it just kind of a necessary part of the job that this is difficult?
Yeah, that's a good question because it's got a similar challenge as if it wasn't documented. You still need to know who to ask. I think, you know, one of my beliefs around code comments is that it should give context, not explain what the code is doing. You can look at the code and figure out what it's doing, but you want to know the context. And I'm thinking now, like, we should almost reference these RFCs in our code base, you know, so you can easily jump to it. Might even be a nice Sourcegraph feature to incorporate one day.
it's an extension. Link to Google Docs.
The other part that I'm thinking of now is when somebody, you know, for our organization, we've got a specific Slack channel, which is purely for onboarding. Every team member is in there across the org, and when a new teammate joins, we specifically ask them to ask questions out loud in there. Whenever they're thinking of something that, you know, and they don't have an answer immediately, they should ask it there. Not that there isn't value in trying for them figuring it out, but because it can unblock them quickly by utilizing the collective kind of like memory of the teammates, but also it showcases where the gaps are in our onboarding material. You know, where can we make sure that we provide the right context for somebody so the next person doesn't necessarily have to worry about this question? And I think that could be a mechanism of helping you surface or at least tap into the collective memory of teammates that might know where this is. And we make the expectation clear to teammates that when a new teammate asks a question in that onboarding channel, your highest priority is to unblock them at that point. And so it still relies a little bit too much on humans to achieve this. And this is why I really like the idea of being able to reference this even from the code. You know, when you're looking at the code and you're like, why is this like this? You know, being able to click through to an RFC that explains to you, you know, the thinking that led to this is could be quite valuable.
Yeah, I feel like that's maybe a practice we should adopt. How do we know that we're doing a good job with onboarding? Are there specific metrics we should track or are tracking, or, you know, specific signals or pieces of evidence that indicate that we're doing a good job of bringing people onto the team?
You know, currently we don't track it in a qualitative manner. I think, you know, the strongest signals I'm seeing right now is from observations in terms of how quickly, you know, people are ramping up. I recently, a new hire, joined, and, I saw him become productive within like 2 weeks. You know, PRs were starting to go out and lots of things were, you know, kind of like becoming, productive in his mind. And I think I was wondering why that was. Yes, he's got a good manager and maybe he's smart, but why did he get up to speed so quickly? And, you know, and in terms of ramping up, I saw him delivering features very quickly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my expectation is that, you know, maybe after a month, somebody starts delivering at that pace. And in a recent skip level with him, I asked him, you know, like, what, you know, first I asked him, you know, how was your onboarding experience? What really worked for you? And one of the things that he mentioned was that his manager had a 30-minute meeting with him every morning for the first week, where they literally all they did was he was just sharing context with him. And that made me think, you know, like, it is so true that most engineers, the thing they miss is not the ability to read code or understand code. It's the ability to understand the context behind the code. You know, how, why, what is the architecture that we're working with? What is the thing that we're trying to achieve here? And once you give them those kind of like pillars of knowledge, they can utilize that and use their intellect to do things quickly. And so, yes, it's a very high touch way to do it. And maybe, you know, not every manager has the time to do it, but maybe you could use another engineer in your team that's maybe in a similar time zone. And just that continuous sessions of every day for 30 minutes, they just discuss the context of things, set him up. And I think, you know, that proved to me that, you know, like, the context is king for engineers when they join a company. You know, we can hire the brightest engineers with the best right technical abilities, but without the right context, they'll be stifled to make progress because they'll be uncertain about what to do. Because they need to first figure out what it is they're working on, how does it work, and where are we going with this to really be able to contribute effectively.
I like the way you phrase that. Context is king. It's kind of short and pithy and I think entirely accurate.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day about onboarding and how it relates to stuff that we do even after the kind of early stages of joining a new team. Because in some sense, when we're talking about ramping onto a code base, I think a mini version of that happens every time we dive into a section of the code that's still unfamiliar to us, or maybe start a new project in a new feature area. There's kind of a ramp stage in that too, spinning up on context. And I wonder if part of what we do as engineers is kind of this continuous onboarding, because you know, no one likes to work in the same part of the code for too long. We're always looking to, you know, acquire new skills, learn about new things, and build things in other areas of the product. So I guess, are there lessons that we can take from what makes a good onboarding experience to what makes a productive software team in general, in kind of the steady state?
I think the one thing that is, you know, when somebody new onboards, you're almost deliberate about making sure that they have the right information before you set them free to go. But once a team is established and, you know, like when we talk about maybe tackling a new product feature or a new area, we tend to overlook that upfront work you almost need to do to get yourself into that ready state. And I like the way you put it. You know, it's like you're constantly onboarding, you know, whether it's a new area of the product or code base. And I think, you know, if teams were more deliberate in terms of understanding the context of the area they're going in, where they're going, rather than rushing into things, maybe that is something that could really help them as well. I think if we've proven that context and being deliberate and preparing for an engineer while they're onboarding is effective, and we have this similar pattern that happens, you know, in different stages of a team's evolution, you know, it might be worthwhile exploring those again.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. John, thanks so much for taking the time today to chat and share your wisdom on onboarding. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
The Sourcegraph podcast is a production of Sourcegraph, the universal code search engine, which gives you fast and expressive search over the world of code you care about. Sourcegraph also provides code navigation abilities like jump to dev and references in code review, and integrates seamlessly with your code host, whether you're working in open source or on a big, hairy enterprise code base. To learn more, visit sourcegraph.com. See you next time.